Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero, an icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. Stanzik, I am f***ing fried. By the way, download, subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. I should not be working today. I am doing this podcast for you. So you know what you can do? You can repay the favor by subscribing and unsubscribing for me and get this thing number one. Okay? We're going to talk pot with Al Harrington later on. We're going to talk marijuana with Al Harrington. If that doesn't do it, I don't know what will. Stanzik, what episode is this?
Really?
I mean, really, dude, do you know how tired I am? This is how tired I am. I drove past my exit on the drive home today. I was in a zombie driving home, and I just drove right past the exit because I'm fried, dude. I want you to hear what I've done since Friday, okay? Friday, I did the show. I was on the set of PTI. I was stealing Emmys from Michael Wilbon. I mean, listen, they have enough, right? So I just figured I'd put one in my suitcase. He'd never notice, and so far, no one's called me, and right now, I am staring at an Emmy in my office. How about that? How do you play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Tony. That's what I'm talking about. And then speaking of reality, I did that show. I did Around the Horn.
Yeah.
Now, I lost. I think I had negative points. Sedano won. Sedano's going to join us to talk Lakers, but I lost again, so I'm now 0-3 on Around the Horn.
Yeah.
And here's the bullshit of that. So the fans are voting at home. The Stugatz army is coming strong. So I am losing, getting trounced. I have like negative 3 points. But Stanzik, take a guess who is winning the fan voting at home for Around the Horn.
Obviously, it's you. I didn't know you could vote at home for Around the Horn. When did that start?
I don't know, but I'm glad. Listen, I'm 3-0 according to the fans. So my personal record book, I am undefeated on Around the Horn.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, Tony. And then I did the Final Four. The women's Final Four, NCAA Final Four, the championships, I did that, and that was on Friday night. And then Saturday, my daughter played in the national tournament. She made the national team. You might want to congratulate Rachel.
Congratulations, Rachel. Has she been on the pod or just Emma? I feel like you prioritize Emma a little bit on the podcast.
We haven't had Rachel on, have we?
No.
Okay. There's a reason for that. Anyway, love you, Rich. And then I had to do the final on Sunday, Stanzik, and then you think, okay, all right, that's a long weekend. But then Memorial Day, you would think I'm off. Nope. I had highly questionable, and I did that on Monday. No radio show, but did highly questionable on Monday, and I'm doing it all week. So I left about 32 minutes to get this week's episode of Stupidity out, okay?
Yeah, that's basically what you did. You haven't prioritized this podcast at all. You basically went from working 4 hours a day to 6 hours a day.
And then you sprinkle in that J.J. Watt got married and Art Briles was hired. I mean, this is a big week. How about that? I mean, listen, J.J. Watt, congratulations. Finally, someone in that family has a ring. Stupidity. Stanzik, I don't know if you've heard, but I am hearing rumors from the J.J. Watt camp, and Lord knows he has a camp. And by the way, I'm surprised he didn't get engaged on national TV. I am hearing reports that the wedding day is going to be August 8th, otherwise known as 8-8. How about that? Did you hear how many carats the ring was for J.J. Watt?
I didn't.
It was 2.5 carats, which is 2.5 more sacks than he had from 2015 to 2017. How about that? Stupidity. So, Stanzik, I am thinking that the wedding day, now I'm surprised the engagement wasn't done on national TV, but I have no doubt that the wedding ceremony is going to be nationally televised on ABC, where J.J. Watt is going to get married and somehow give the priest CPR and save his life at the same time. How about that? Stupidity! And then they're going to go to the banquet, right? Or is it a banquet? What do you call, is it a wedding reception?
It's
what
a reception,
it?
Yes.
Who do you imagine to be in his, like his best man? Like, who do you imagine to be in his wedding party, J.J. Watt?
I got a feeling that Brian Cushing is going to be in it because Cushing is married to Watt's fiance's sister.
Really?
Yeah, I think I made that more confusing than it should have been. Essentially, yeah, Brian Cushing's married to a woman. That woman has a sister. That sister is now J.J. Watt's fiance. I think I made it confusing again. It's too potty.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, leave it to me to make things confusing, okay? You're supposed to keep...
I know, I did enough.
That's okay. So you think Kush is going to be in there, huh?
Yeah, definitely Kush. Who else? Someone
from
Wisconsin.
How about T.J. Watt? How about
the brothers. Yep, definitely. Right, Chris right. Watt, I think, is one.
Right. All right, T.J., at this point, he's the more talented Watt, correct?
Probably. I'd also say he's going to have some sort of U.S. Army veteran in there. Although Watt did make Memorial Day weekend about himself, so I'm not sure about that one anymore.
Well, it makes everything about himself. I imagine he's going to have none of his friends and only vets. Like vets that he doesn't know, and he's not veterinarians, military vets. He'll sprinkle his wedding party, not with famous people, but with like Sister Jean and some military veterans. Stupidity! Standing. Now, you have to think, right? There's no doubt. It's going to be televised, and whether it's televised or not, J.J. Watt is absolutely dancing with all the elderly ladies at the wedding, right?
Oh, of course. The young kids, too. The little girl. Is there a ring bearer?
Yeah, there has to be. Yeah, but not with a Super Bowl ring, because you're never going to win one of those. But listen, here is the deal, okay? I'm telling you, he's going to dance with the older women, and then when he's done, when he gets through all of them, all the grandmas, he is going to dance with all the tots. You're right. How do you imagine that? It's all the tots surrounding J.J. Watt, right?
Maybe one at a time. They get in a line. Everyone gets their own song. And how about this? I bet instead of a best man speech, Watt's going to give a speech.
Because he's the best man.
Oh, yeah. It's episode 17, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
We've done 17 episodes of this shit?
How about that?
What happened to Abby? Stupidity! All right, Stanzik, so I got to tell you, man, like doing the women's Final Four, it was the thrill of a lifetime for me. And I've been telling Lebatard all week, there's only one person on that show who's ever called the Final Four, and that person is me. Who would have thought that? That's crazy. But anyway, I was part of a Final Four broadcast. Stanzik, I walked into that broadcast room, okay, as confident as I've ever been, because I maintain there is no one more qualified to talk women's lacrosse right now than me. Like, I know women's lacrosse better than the NFL, NBA, anything at this point in my life. You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean, I've heard some of the sound, and you sounded way too serious at times, and it sounded like good analysis. I used to call lacrosse games in college. I played lacrosse in high school, but that was men's lacrosse. Women's lacrosse, the rules are a little different, but you're a coach, so I get it. But I do have sound from this weekend if you would like to hear it.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
By the way, do you know how great of an advantage it is to have a sports talk show host joining us to help us fill this time?
You want me to do Kevin Durant takes? I'll fill it anyway, Kevin.
Just unbelievable. Certainly a pleasure to call. Thrilled to be here. But that's certainly one of the best games I've ever seen, period, in any sport.
I promise you she's going to the cage and shooting here. And there's 33 left in the penalty. That foul was against Christina Walsh for Boston College.
No, she doesn't.
Elects to pass to Bo.
Yeah, and not a math major, but that's not good. That is horrific shot placement there by Ferrucci. Horrific. Sorry.
I'm going to credit the goalie. I think a good save.
I know.
In the heat of the moment. I
hate to criticize the kid in a big spot like that, but she would be the first one to tell you, I got to place that in the corner or go low with
it. Now, the cloud coverage has helped a bit. It's helped you out a bit, Brick, because you were sweating through your shirt when I walked in here, but you're doing a lot better now.
They're having great success doing it.
Aren't you the one wondering why they made the goalie change, Brick?
There's always been a question I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead.
Who's better at lacrosse, you or Lebatard?
Oh, it's me. It's not even close.
Even though we don't count that winless senior year at Clark, correct?
Yes, she catches that ball 99 out of 100 times, and once she catches it, she finishes it nearly 100 out of 100 times.
Oh, they're going for the Gatorade bath.
I guess we should say the power in bath is what she got right there.
Okay, cool. Yep, perfect.
I'll spit that out better next time.
So, I mean, Stanzik, give me your appraisal. I feel like I nailed it. Stupidity! Now it's time here on Stupidity to bring you this week's news. It is brought to you by Tissot. Tissot, the official watch of the NBA. Shop at us.tissotshop.com. So as crazy of a week as I've had, it's been crazier out in L.A., and we'll bring Sedano on in just a second here. But one of my friends, Bomani Jones, made this story all about me.
Rob Pelinka is that dude in everybody's crew who just be lying. He's just that cat who just be lying. He's the Stu Gatz of the Lakers.
Wow.
Pablo's reaction is funny. Sedana, would you agree that Rob Pelinka is the Stu Gatz of the Lakers?
Well, it's funny, but Pablo's reaction actually sounds like something you would say on the radio show with Dan. Yes. Your reaction would just normally just be "Wow," and just leave it there. You know, there's nothing else to add in that situation.
I'm going to peel back the curtain real quick before you answer that question. That "Wow" is simply to keep things moving because I wasn't listening to anything Levitard said. How about that?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Like, we don't know that. Like, you think the audience doesn't figure that out by now?
I'm certain our audience has. I just, listen, there are still a few people who don't get the show. they're just talking.
But those people you just can't worry about anymore. I mean, just the hell with them. You know, can I curse on this podcast?
You can curse as much as you f***ing want. How about that?
All right. F***ing great.
All right.
We bleep the F word and above.
Right.
So Stu Gatz is a little gratuitous with his f***ing. I have to go through and listen to every word of this thing and then bleep out the
Say
bullshit.
We
shit,
can make
it
really f***ing hard for you to just keep f***ing doing it. See, that's easy though. He'll just chop all that out. Made it too easy for him as an edit.
So tell me about this f***ing Pelinka.
So here's the deal. He's you, except if you had like a twin brother who had similar personality traits, but was way more polite and way better looking than you. Like, that's the best way to describe it. Because the type of lying that he's done, like, even you, okay, haven't said that you've had dinner with a dead person, okay? Like, that's even beyond your scope, I feel like.
I'm trying to think if I have or not.
Right. Now, I know where the bodies are buried with you. Like, Dan always says that you're afraid of me because I physically have probably put a body in the ground for you.
There is no one in sports media, really, in my life that I fear more than you. I've told you too much, man.
But here's the thing. Like, this is what I've said about Pelinka. Like, look, man. You do it. I do it. We've all done it, right? Like, doctors will tell you that as time goes by, that you don't remember details very well about specific instances. So you start creating your own version of reality, basically because you're getting old and you don't remember the details. But that's not what happened here. Like, anyone can forget a few details or, you know, like, to use a Roger Clemens quote, misremember certain parts of it. But that's not this. This is a series of events now that over time here that he's been the Lakers general manager, he's just laid it on way too thick. Even you, I don't think, would lay it on this thick. And boy, have you laid it on thick.
Yes, I have. Wait, so do you have, like, specific examples of Pelinka being me?
Oh, man. But here's the thing. Again, remember the tone I struck earlier. It's way more polite and way more good-looking than you, okay?
Right. So, he hands it up more. I mean, listen, he's an agent, and he looks like Rob Lowe. And so, you know, I'm no Rob Lowe, but people tell me I look like George Clooney. I mean,
George Clooney on acid? I guess.
This is going back like 20 years. Listen, the person who introduced me and Abby sold Abby a bill of goods. She told Abby, now this is going back like, you know, 15, 16 years, George, but Abby asked, what do I look like? And at the time, I was much better looking. You would agree with that, right? You've known me for a long time.
Yeah, right? I remember you back in the day.
Right, and so she responded, he looks a little bit like George Clooney. I mean what do you think? Back then, just rewind a little bit. What do you think? No.
Sounds like something Pelinka would say.
Right.
Exactly. That's what Pelinka would say because he's so polite. He'd be like, Stu Gatz, you look like George Clooney. You know, you could have been an award-winning actor if you were just a little taller. Actually, you know what? Tom Cruise is not that tall, so they could have just shot you differently like they do with Tom Cruise. Like, he'd create something like that because he comes across as very polite. So I'll give you an example, right? The one we like to make fun of here in L.A. is a couple of years ago, remember they signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, right?
Yeah.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is represented by Clutch Sports, which is the agency LeBron James is represented by. So this is when I knew for sure LeBron was coming, okay? The year before LeBron gets here, they signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to a one-year $18 million deal. That's not even the kicker yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
when Pelinka starts talking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and the signing with the Los Angeles Lakers, he starts quoting a Bible scripture, okay? And I believe he said it's the book of Genesis, which it even wasn't even the right book, okay, that he was referring to, which is very much in tow with what you would do in that situation. Screw that part up. But
listen, I love the Old Testament. I mean, you're in my wheelhouse right now with the Old Testament, George.
I know, exactly. So he said, he goes, it's like, you know, when Kentavious was on the market and he wanted to be a Laker, and I'm paraphrasing some here, it's like manna from heaven. And I was like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is manna from heaven? Like, are you serious? Like, he's never made an All-NBA team. He's never been an All-Star. He's never even sniffed an All-Star game. He's manna from heaven? Like, and so at that point, I'm like, good God, this is just smarmy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's right there where I said to me, he's got a little Stu Gatz in him.
The more you tell me about Pelinka, the more I like him.
I mean, again, if they were doing a remake of the movie Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito, you and Pelinka could do a version of that.
I'd be the ugly twin, though, right?
Right. You'd be the schmarmy, just like mean-spirited, ugly twin, and he'd be the good-looking one because he looks like Rob Lowe.
Oh, it's so great. God, Rob Pelinka. It's a perfect name, too, right? Pelinka?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, because he's Pelinka-ing you all the way around, you know?
Yes, he is.
Pelinka-ing you this way, Pelinka-ing you that way.
Pelinka this way, Pelinka that way, Pelinka everywhere.
I mean, for the love of God, this guy. So it's always something. Like, and then the other day, he said this thing. Om Yamasuk, who covers the Lakers for ESPN.com, asked Rob Pelinka, after they went from 11 to 4 in the lottery, what did he bring for good luck, if anything, to the lottery? So Pelinka, instead of just answering the question, you know, like, you know, David Griffin had that little, like, trinket or whatever that he brought that had some sort of significance. So he goes into this long diatribe, and it's hard to, like, rip him for it, but it's like, really, is this necessary? Like, he says, I had asked my son, who is 11, what should I bring to the draft lottery for good luck, son? He said, Dad, just bring some optimism. He said, the world needs more optimism. It's like, come on, man. Like, not only are you invoking your 11-year-old son, but now you're just sitting here and, like, you're just hamming it up. Like, we don't need this, okay? You could have just said your 11-year-old son said, Dad, you don't need anything because you're good to go. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even know. Like, do we know if his 11-year-old son actually said that? Should we vet that? Like, that's kind of the place we are with Rob. Again, we all tell little white lies, but this guy tells them every day. He's you.
Yeah, I can tell you that his 11-year-old son did not say anything near, close to that, okay? Like, there's just, but listen, I can't.
But what 11-year-old speaks like that, Stu?
None.
Like,
that's why, That's why I'm telling you that there's no way his 11-year-old son said that to him. So, Pelinka, and I'm proud of him, and I start to like him more and more with each passing story. He took liberties with his own child's words. I mean, this guy is my man.
He's literally like a cross between you and Confucius.
Yes. Listen, I love Pelinka. I mean, listen, he might not be your Pelinka, but he's my Pelinka. Okay?
He's Pelinka and you around, that's for sure.
And you went right past Confucius because you don't know who that is.
He has no idea who Confucius is.
No chance.
Did he say Confucius? I didn't even hear him. Stupidity! Listen, George is a sideline reporter for the NBA. George is always, his passion has always been the NBA, even before you were doing sidelines for the NBA and became this big star on ESPN. But George also does the afternoon show for ESPN LA 710, so which is the home of the Lakers, by the way. So
we
George
should have done that on the front end, to be honest, before the last 15 minutes of me yammering.
It doesn't matter. The last 15 minutes has been fun, man. Listen, the beauty of the podcast is you can be as lazy as you want. That's why I love it.
I get it. I mean, this is your format. Like, this is it. Like, you are in the right platform now.
No, I mean, Stanzik, how often have you and I discussed this where it's like a lab for me, right? I just come in here and tape shit and we see what sticks, you know?
Yeah, the part about sticking is me doing all the work and editing it, though. It takes forever.
Well, listen, welcome to the club, buddy. Okay, I can sit here and telling you stories about, I've told this story on the Levitard show. The last time I was there, I was sitting in for Dan, and I did the show with Stu Gatz, and we did the 7 Stu Gatz revelations. So basically 7 things that Stu Gatz had told me over the years, or had done to me over the years, that he would be mortified if I revealed. And one of them was, I had told him because at one point I got a weekly show on ESPN2 that I had pitched, and it got on the air, and it lasted almost 2 years. It was a hybrid English-Spanish show.
Nacion, come on, George, I know.
Nacion ESPN, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I told Gotts, I said, look, you know, I kind of got these guys' ears. Like, I wanted to turn Stu Gotts into Colbert. And I said, if we do a Colbert-style show with you, with your personality and you know, the character, like, this is your wheelhouse. And you could just be as much of you as you want to be, right?
Sure.
Because, and you could even embellish it some. Not that that's necessary in most cases, but you could. So he's like, he's loving it. We're on the phone for like an hour, okay? I'm sitting there in the parking lot at my gym at the LA Fitness, and I'm on the phone with him. So I end the conversation by saying, all right, Gotts, so here's what we're going to do. Let's start an email chain, you and I going back and forth on ideas. I put him on speaker. I'm going to just send you one now that says ideas, and then I'm going to write go. And then Stu Gotts says, all right, buddy, so here's what I got to do. When I get home tonight after lacrosse mitzvah, you know, and Abby puts the kids to bed, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get in the right frame of mind, and then I'll respond to the email. And I'm like, okay, no problem. So that night goes by. I wake up the next morning, nothing. I'm like, yeah, it's part of the course, you know. Literally a month goes by. And what did you send me?
So listen, I have the emails pulled up right here. You sent me the email that you just talked about Wednesday, May 10th at 3:15 in the afternoon. It said, let's go, dot, dot, dot. I didn't respond until June 15th. And my response was, okay, good ideas. Looks like we have a show.
So, Stanzik, I understand exactly what you're going through, because he literally wanted me to do all the work to create a show for him.
It's a good idea, though.
So where are we on it?
Listen, I still think you should be the Colbert of ESPN. And by the way, there's a guy already doing some of this stuff, like the Barstool guys, PFT Commenter and those guys. Like, you missed the boat. Like, you could have done all that,
could
have done it on a bigger platform.
No, but I'm going to do it on a bigger platform. I'm letting those guys work out the kinks, if you know what I'm saying. Okay?
Oh,
and then,
I see.
And then I'll take it from there. Listen, we're going to make this happen.
We'll do it. The Stu Gotts report instead of the Colbert report. I feel like people would watch that.
Just tell me where to be and what to do and how much you're getting paid, and then I'll, you know, 80-20, okay? My way.
Late night show on ESPN2. I'm in. I think you should do it.
You know, just quickly, since you're so close to it and you're on the flagship radio station of the LA Lakers doing afternoon drive, like, just from, yeah, like, give us your thoughts on everything that's transpired since, you know, Magic stepped down as president of basketball operations.
All right, look, the reality is this, is that it's been the blind leading the blind. Like, Jeannie Buss doesn't know how to make decisions. Like, she's, like, afraid to make decisions. She did the toughest thing, which is basically, like, you know, off her brother, not literally, but just from a figurative standpoint when he was running the organization. But then since then, like, she entrusted Magic and Pelinka, who were, you know, I mean, for the love of God, they'd never done the job before. I mean, they were novices. So, of course, this thing was going to go sideways. And, of course, other organizations, when they're trying to make deals, are going to try to take advantage of them because they know they're in a compromised position. So that becomes kind of the reality that they've been. And it feels like every other day there's another story that just adds to dysfunction. With that said, they're still the Lakers. They still have LeBron. They've got $39 million in cap space. They've got the fourth pick in the draft, and they've got some young guys that are pretty good. Now, some of them are dealing with issues, like Brandon Ingram has got this blood clot thing, even though the doctors say it's not as bad as Chris Bosh, and it's not even in that same realm. Of course, teams are going to be hesitant to deal for him, even though he's very talented. You know, same thing with Lonzo, not exactly, but obviously he's had trouble staying on the floor too. They've got pieces to make it work, you know, to trade for assets if they want. They have the assets to trade for guys,
right,
if they wanted to, and they've got cap space. So ultimately, they're going to back into somebody. Now, I don't think it's going to be Durant or Kawhi or even, you know, Clay or Kyrie, but could Jimmy Butler end up being in L.A.? Jimmy Butler was on social media the other day at Mark Wahlberg's house here in L.A., and he's saying that he's going to be Mark Wahlberg's daughter's basketball coach now here in L.A. Of course Jimmy Butler wants to be in L.A., so he's going to pick one of the L.A. teams. Like, that's not me reporting anything. That's just me using common sense. So why not the Lakers when LeBron James is here? Jimmy Butler is super tight with Dwayne Wade. Wade and LeBron are super tight. Connect the dots, Gotts.
Connecting the dots, it's my time of year, and Wahlberg's daughter could probably shoot better than Ben Simmons. How about that?
She probably can.
So there are rumors out there that the Rockets, and they totally overreact every time they lose to the Warriors with audits and stripping the whole team apart and firing coaches. But so maybe CP3 is a guy that could land in L.A. What do you think?
I don't even think they have enough salary to trade for him. That's the problem. You know what I mean?
Like, it's gonna George, his set,
$40 million.
Chris Paul has $125 million left on a 3-year deal. It's crazy.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, it's like $37 or $38 million this year, and then the last year the deal's like $45 or $46 or something wild like that. So yeah, like the Lakers don't have enough salary to trade for him is the problem. If you threw in everyone not named LeBron, they still couldn't get within the requisite 10% of Chris Paul. So they need a third team even to make that happen. Which is why the Lakers have the pieces to like trade for like an Anthony Davis or a Bradley Beal, because those guys are making in the 20-some million range or low 30s. But yeah, they don't have enough to get to $38 million or within 10%, which would be, I guess they need to get within like to like $33 or $34 million.
Right. LeBron played this like, hey, he's still going to be able to recruit, but the thing has become such a mess and he gets older with each passing day that I think it becomes, you know, more difficult for him to be able to recruit big time free agents. So I think you're right. You're going to be stuck with some sort of combination of him, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, maybe Chris falls into somehow there's a deal that's worked out. It's not enough,
but
George.
Here's the thing. Like, I could absolutely see the Lakers getting Jimmy Butler this offseason and then basically telling New Orleans, if Anthony Davis doesn't want to stay, okay, you know what? Like, let's just do a sign and trade right now. You know what I'm saying? And they'll give them. And that way, at that point, Brandon Ingram has played for another year. And I know David Griffin likes Brandon Ingram. David Griffin used to come on my radio show all the time here in L.A. when he was working for NBA TV. And he specifically cited how people are underselling Brandon Ingram to me. Like, I have the audio somewhere here in this studio of him saying that, where he said, you know, that kid at 21 hasn't even grown into his own body yet. Like, he defended Kyrie and shut him out in one game. Like, not to mention that the last 6 weeks of the season before he got hurt or whatever, he had the medical issue, he was averaging like 27, 28 points a game. His specific phrase was, he's like a baby deer who hasn't grown into his body yet. That's something you would say, I feel like, a baby deer that hasn't grown into his body.
I actually just wrote it down. I'm going to use it somewhere else.
You
some
should.
Point.
Use it tomorrow. Tell Dan that Guillermo is a baby deer who hasn't grown into his body yet.
I'll use it tomorrow, or I'll use it on my new Colbert-type show, okay?
Yes, the Stu Gatz report.
So, all right, so interesting stuff. And Magic, real quick, George, before we get to a couple of other stories here. It's interesting that Magic is blaming everyone but Magic Johnson, and Magic Johnson was the guy who's in charge of this mess, but it ain't Magic's fault.
I think the irony was yesterday when he said, and I like Magic Johnson, okay, because I've actually had good interactions with him.
Right.
The hilarious part about that was yesterday when he told Mike Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith that the Lakers need to stay out of the news. Dude, you're putting them in the news right now.
Like, what are
the
news.
Talking about? I mean, like, the irony of that was just amazing.
He came on national TV on first take and said that Rob Pelinka stabbed him in the back and he wants him out of the news? Like, what is he? I mean, he's crazy.
No, but okay, that's what he did. He was on again yesterday.
I know.
Like, it wasn't just the first take.
I know.
He said that yesterday, the second time he was on national television. I mean, just to I mean, that's you right there, too. Everyone's got a little Stu Gatz in them. You know what I mean?
A little bit of Stu Gatz in everyone, yeah.
You should be like, oh, you know, I mean, I don't know why people don't get the show. You know, they should just, you know, not listen to the show. Except
listen,
you really
Magic.
Want them to listen to the show.
Listen, it's great. So, you lie with a big smile on your face, and right. Everyone loves you, and you have a clever nickname like Stu Gatz or Magic, and you're good. That's
exactly. but by the way, you and Magic are the same. Like, Allison Turner can attest to that. You are Stu Gatz, and everyone is, you know, you're beloved and when the cameras are on, right? And then, you know, in when you were running the show, you were magicking people.
I was. I did. Yeah, I did it to Allison. You're right. I fired her. And I still, it's the biggest career regret I have until this day.
I mean,
day.
Do we really believe this, like you saying this now? Like,
I have earned you not believing a single word that comes out of my mouth. So
I mean, you're literally
weird.
Palinka and Magic put together. We've just figured that out.
What would we call that? What
you're Majinka. Majinka.
Majinka. Did you just mash him up and just say it's Stu Gatz?
Yeah, I think we nailed it.
Okay,
and George,
but like,
we need more of this. Hang on, George. Give me more of Stu Gatz.
I like more Majinka.
You're Majinka. That's what your
Majinka.
New name should be.
Start calling me Majinka, please. Okay?
All right, George, let's talk about Majinka and what he was like as a boss. Was he ever your boss? When did you meet Stu Gatz? Let's go way back.
For a brief amount of time, I want to say I mean, it wasn't even a year before a bigger company ended up buying the radio station that Stu Gotts, look, he deserves all the credit in the world because he put together something that I don't think anyone thought could ever have worked, okay? Because plenty of people tried before him. So on the front end, I want to actually give him credit.
Thank you.
I'll edit this part out. That's fine.
No, for real. Like, he deserves it because there were a lot of people that tried to create a, like, basically the station, the big station in Miami that was like the equivalent to WFAN, for example, is the original station was 560 WQAM. And there was a bunch of upstarts that tried and never, you know, they fell, you know, by the wayside or just, you know, didn't, couldn't make it work financially or whatever. And Stu Gotts, to his credit, put together a dream team. And he overpaid for it, and he bankrupted the poor guy who bought the damn station. But nonetheless, he made such a powerful station lineup and just, you know, partnerships with the different teams that he created all that to the point where a big radio company wanted to buy it. And they did, and we survived because of it. So despite Stu Gotts being Majinka, much like the Lakers, who will probably back into Jimmy Butler or eventually Anthony Davis or someone like that, Stu Gotts, in Stu Gottsian fashion, backed into a big company buying the radio station as he was bankrupting the guy who actually originated the radio station.
Now, George is right. Like, George is also a programmer. He was a program director for WQAM. So he
had like 9 months.
For like that, but I did put together a lineup.
Well, hang on. Speaking of that lineup, George, I'm proud of you. You said Stu Gotts put together a dream lineup. Were you a part of that lineup?
Of course
I was.
Oh,
so
God bless you.
Lineup,
you called yourself part of the dream lineup. You are my hero.
We had Sedano, Sid Rosenberg, I think Boog, Joe Rose, and me and Lebatard. I mean, and we had people who would tell us that's as good as any national lineup that's out there at the time.
And he's not lying. There were people that said that. And then we had, you know, as guys left, then we still had the core. You know, that he, like, Joe Rose eventually left because he couldn't deal with Stu Gotts and the guy who he bankrupted. And then it ended up being the core of me.
Well, no,
Rosenberg,
he left because
the
Dolphins left and he wanted to follow the Dolphins. Is that right?
Well, like, there's that too, but he also got, didn't he almost like literally almost punch out the guy you bankrupted?
Yeah, like 50 times over. I think the bigger problem with the bankruptcy, not to get defensive here because everything George is saying is accurate.
Too late.
Okay. But if you remember, George, I told our owner to go out and get us a house for Super Bowl week so we could broadcast from there and have parties and do events and all this stuff because he was a real estate guy. I said, go out and just get like some shed in Fort Lauderdale and, you know, like a place you don't care about and we'll sell sponsorships and we'll tear it apart. And it doesn't matter if the house still standing once the week is over.
Right.
Because it's such a dump. So I told him to go out and get a dump standing. I told him that on like a Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning, 24 hours later, he said, I got your house. And I said, wow, that's awesome. That was quick. He said, I'm a real estate guy. Of course I got your house. He said, check the contracts. They're on your desk in your office. And so I walked into the office and there was a contract for 4 days of the Versace mansion. I'm not going to say the exact amount, but I'm going to tell you it was north of $1 million.
What?
Yeah, he's not lying. But by the way, Eli Manning and all these, a bunch of famous people showed up to the party. Eli Manning showed up very early to the party.
George, well, yes, Eli was the first one there, standing there. Dan and I were doing a red carpet show, and Eli was there before we got there, okay? And so he was just standing there looking clueless, like that's because that's what Eli looks like. But if you remember, George, Nick Lachey was also there, and I begged him, and he did it. Spoke to my wife for 15 minutes on the phone.
Yeah,
I'm bad. And I also had drinks with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. How about that? That was fun.
You did?
That night?
That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah, because we ended up standing. It cost us so much that we rented the house out to the Redskins so they could have their party there. But, George, I'd be walking around that house, and, like, I was staying in the house, and I'd walk down the hallway to brush my teeth in the morning, and who was there? Kanye West. It was weird, right?
It was weird. It was weird. But it was awesome, and it's a great story to tell now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you think about it. And, you know, and I believe Stu Gotts was pretty drunk most of the time there. Even potentially, if I recall correctly, drunk on the radio one of the days.
Oh, 100%. Yep, the entire time. I was hammered.
And is that the place where you asked Ludacris how much his diamond-studded watch cost?
That was Shaquille O'Neal's party.
Oh, that was at Shaq's party, right.
Yeah, that was at Shaq's party.
We did, yeah, you and Lebatard did a, like, late remote, like just kind of after your normal show, for like kind of the red carpet, right? And then Ludacris came to the red carpet stands, and he's like iced up, okay, with his watch. And Stugatz, like, of course, in very Stugatzian fashion, you know, just, you know, money in his eyeballs all day long. He's like, hey, Ludacris, there's a nice watch. How much does that cost? And then Dan's like, are you really asking him how much his watch costs? It's pretty indelicate of you. He's like, yeah, whatever.
I wish the words came out that clearly, by the way.
And of course, Ludacris did not tell him how much the watch cost.
Of course not. Do you have any other embarrassing stories about
Listen,
Stugatz?
Dan should have known better, George. When I came back to the broadcast table, double-fisted with gin and tonics. I mean,
yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Don't throw it
to
me.
I've got stories for Stugatz for days. Like, I could come back and do, like, a weekly with you guys, and just, like, we could do stories for the next 2 years.
All right, well, let's do that. And for those of you who don't know, and why would you know, I have an hour and a half drive home, and I have spent many of those drive homes talking to Sedano for the entire time. Like, next thing I know, I'm in my driveway. My wife's waving me in for dinner, and I'm still on the phone with Sedano. So we have had like 90-minute, two-hour epic conversations. I do think it'd be funny for you to come back like once a week and tell a story. Let's do it this way. Let's do it for the next 3 weeks where you tell a story. But the bronze medalist of Stugatz's just crazy ideas or stories that I've had, George. Go ahead. The bronze medalist.
The bronze medalist.
Because there are
the
some
bronze
doozies.
Medalist, it's just to whet the appetite and whet the palate a little bit, was when Stugatz called me one day when Tirico and Gruden were doing Monday Night Football and they got announced.
I knew you were going to this.
And Stugatz calls me and he's like, can you believe they're just, you know, this is right after the Kornheiser thing and, you know, it didn't work out or whatever. And he's like, can you believe they go with Tirico and Gruden and they're getting rid of Kornheiser? I mean, what they really should do is put people like you and me in there. And I'm like, Stugatz, neither of us have ever done a game broadcast of any sort in our entire life. Like, what makes you believe that we, and he was arguing with me, like saying, come on, are you crazy? Like, how much more fun would it be? Nobody watches the games for the announcers. Meanwhile, everybody is tuning in for Gruden because they just think he's quirky and dorky and he's always saying the funny thing about someone and, you know, spider Y2 banana, and they're just, they love that nonsense. They're eating it up. Yet Stugatz is trying to tell me that nobody cares about who's in the booth. But of course, Stugatz at that time, that's even before the Stugatz army existed, okay? They were an infantry at that point. They weren't even an army. And he's
like
trying to tell me that
camp.
He would be
yeah.
more popular than John Gruden.
I still maintain that. Stupidity! Get out of here.
See ya.
Stupidity! Hiring is challenging, but there is one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place, of course, is ZipRecruiter.com/Stupod. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates. So you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. I said it's free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod, StuPod, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Stanzik, what time is it?
Tissot time.
It is indeed. Tissot is the official watch of the NBA. Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury. This graduation season, get the NBA fan in your life a Tissot watch. The Tissot Chrono XL is a great watch for those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price. Shop now at us.tissotshop.com. If you have a son who is graduating, coming up here in the next month or so, there is no better gift than the gift of Tissot. Get them a great watch. They're going to absolutely love it. Check them out at us.tissotshop.com.
Stupidity.
Al Harrington with us here on Stupidity. You can check him out on Twitter at CheddarCheese7, 16-year NBA veteran, drafted out of high school in 1998, a couple of years there with the Knicks. So how does a 16-year NBA veteran who never tried marijuana while he was playing in the NBA, which I find, listen, of all your accomplishments, that's probably the most amazing accomplishment, that you did not try marijuana while you were in the NBA?
No, that's not all the way accurate. So, to be honest, I tried one time. It was in Phoenix, Arizona. I was playing with the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. If you look at that team, you can look through the team, look through the players, and I don't have to even tell you which players were actually smoking. Right. But we were sitting at Roof Chris and watching the game, And, you know, we needed the Clippers to beat Denver, and then we needed to beat Phoenix that next night so that we can make the playoffs. And we had just made the playoffs the year before that We Believe team, where I think we were like 42-40. And this next year, I think we won 48 games, so we actually got better, but we missed the playoffs because, obviously, the Clippers did what they do, and they lost. And, you know, that just had that opportunity to get into the playoffs. So we were all frustrated, you know, just like, can't believe we're going to get a chance to build off the momentum of what we had last year. And, you know, the guys started smoking. And they said, "How you going to smoke tonight? I don't want to hear it. You going to try it." So I tried it, you know, fell into peer pressure. Right. And I'll never forget that night, man. I was so paranoid that it made me feel like, you know, smoking wasn't for me. So I had not touched it again until I was in Denver and, you know, I had a botched knee surgery. And that's when I realized, you know, that, you know, the opioids that they would give me, the prescription drugs, just didn't agree with me. And I wanted to try something different, you know what I'm saying, to manage all my pain.
I'm looking at the 07-08 Warriors roster. I'm guessing you were at Ruth Chris table for four. It was Harrington. It was Matt Barnes. It was Baron Davis. And it was Steven Jackson. Am I close?
You're close. You're real close.
Am I leaving anyone out? Because I know those three were there with you.
I'll just say we probably had a table for 10. No, I'm joking.
All right, so Chris Webber was there as well.
He set up the dinner.
So you try it once. You're paranoid. Understandable. But now you have become a marijuana mogul. How did that happen? Take us through that.
I'm not a mogul yet, man. I'm a mogul in the making, but
Al, you know, you're getting there, man. Al, I read the GQ story about you, man. You are getting, you're pretty damn close, you know, my friend.
Working, man. I'm working, brother. But, you know, when I was playing in Denver, I got there in 2010, and 2009 is when they first started their medical program. So obviously, you know, they are the industry leaders in our country, as being pretty much the first to really regulate. So, you know, they had all these different rules and regulations. So they was always talking about the little bills and stuff that they were passing along the way. And then they were talking about all the benefits of cannabis. And the moment happened at the end of that first year when my grandmother came to see me play. And when she got there, I hadn't seen her in a while. And, you know, she lived down in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And, you know, with me playing, while, you know, living in Vegas in the off season, stuff like that, didn't give me a chance to see her as much. So when she got there, you know, she had me put this pill box, you know, up on my counter, and she started taking all these pills. And when she started taking them, I asked her, I was like, "Grandma, why are you taking so many vitamins?" The athlete in me. Right. So she's like, "Boy, these aren't vitamins. You know, I'm dealing with this, that, and third." So one of the things she said was glaucoma. So I said, "Well, Grandma, you know, I was just reading the newspaper the other day about how cannabis, you know, cures glaucoma." So she's like, "What are you talking about?" So I started telling them about what I was reading. And she was finally asking me, "Well, what is cannabis?" And I was like, "Is marijuana weed?" She said, "Reefer?" She said, "Boy, I'm not smoking no reefer." She's like, "Ain't no way no reefer's going to help me, you know, help my eyes." She said, "All it's going to do is make me hungry." She started laughing. And I always tell people, I make sure I always make this a point to say, like, you know, my grandmother's so straight now, I promise. Like, she's not going to heaven, we're all going to hell, for sure. Like, we don't have a shot. You know what I'm saying? That's how straight and narrow she is. And, you know, she said no. So the next day, talked about it again, and because she was in, you know, this day she was in a lot of pain. She just looked at me and just said, "Al, I'm in so much pain today, I'll try anything." And I'm just like, "Well, Grandma, that medication is not working. Let's just give it a shot." So we had to try it. I took her downstairs. I went to the nap because I had a game. So I woke up from my nap, and I remember how paranoid I was the first time. So I said, "I'm just going to make sure she's not up down there, like climbing up the walls or anything."
Right.
So I go downstairs and the door is closed. I knock on the door and I poke my head through the door, and, you know, her back was to the door. She's looking down, and I was just like, "Grandma, how you feeling?" And she turned around, and, you know, I'll never forget it, man. She was crying tears, and she said, "I'm healed." She said, "I haven't been able to read the words of my Bible in over 3 years." So she was downstairs reading her Bible, you know what I'm saying, after she tried cannabis for the first time. Wow. And, you know, for me, you know, obviously it spoke volumes. It was just like, you know, for especially for her, you know, she was 79 years old, just about to turn 80. And, you know, someone that old, you know, they're so set in their ways. And when they, you know, it's been beating into her head since she was born that, you know, cannabis is a gateway drug and a one-way trip to prison and all that other stuff. But for her to be open to trying it and then giving her that relief, you know, spoke volumes to me. And it inspired me to educate myself more until I got to the point where I was just like, I want to help people. You know what I'm saying? It allowed me
and
to
educate people. Yeah,
outside of basketball. You know what I'm saying? It's something I'm just as passionate about as I was when I used to, you know, put on my workout gear to go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? I love what I do.
So you went down there. She's reading the Bible now. What happened with the munchies? Did she also have like a bag of chips in her hand? What happened there?
Nah, she didn't ask for munchies. You know, believe it or not, she's very like, she don't eat snacks and all that. You know what I mean? She's always worried about her diabetes and stuff like that. So she definitely probably went for the vegetables or for some fruit or whatever. But yeah, I wasn't able to give her like some Cheetos or nothing like that.
By the way, perfect for grandma, just to, you know, when you originally asked her, that is the perfect word for grandma to spit back at you. Reefer, get out of here, you know? It's like a prick.
He was not having it, brother.
Of course she wasn't. And so just out of curiosity, what happened with you? Like going back to Ruth Chris for a second with the 07-08 Warriors, after you got over your paranoia, were you just throwing down steaks like crazy?
No, believe it or not, we already had dinner.
After dinner, Al. Right, okay, got it.
Yeah, it was after, so I went back to the room, and I heard the sirens. I felt like the police was coming. I thought they smelled weed in the rooms. I didn't know what was going on. So I eventually, you know, scared myself to sleep.
Oh, my God. So from that moment, from the moment you realized, hey, this stuff can help a lot of people, this stuff is a lot healthier for you than the pills that I've taken, my grandma's been taking for years. Walk us through how you go from that moment in the bedroom with grandma, who is emotional, reading the Bible for the first time, to starting a marijuana company.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, you know, that ride to that game in the day was intense for me. Right. Like, you know, my brain was just going crazy, like, you know, because I just only had known people that just smoked to smoke and get high or whatever, you know. Not even realizing the medicinal benefits of it ever. But after seeing that from her, it was just like, wow. So I called the one person that I remember that always had cannabis with them every time I saw him. And that was my co-founder. And I called him and I told him the story. And he was just like laughing, like, no way. I'm like, I'm telling you, bro. Like, so I had him fly out to Colorado. And what we did was we did some investigating and some research. And because I was Al Harrington, I was able to pretty much get into anyone's business. So people obviously welcomed me and were open arms, hoping that I would potentially invest in different things like that. So, you know, we started educating ourselves, looking at grow opportunities, different things like that. And probably like a year later, we made our first investment. We were caregivers, so when we first started, all of our patients that we grew for either had HIV or cancer. So we grew like heavy indica strains or whatever, because most of those people deal with a lot of pain.
Sure.
And, you know, we grew from there. Now, in 2014, they kind of killed the caregiver model in Colorado, and pretty much, you know, you had to become a licensed business. And in 2016, we went to Oregon. We found a farm there, a 40-acre farm, where we actually cultivate off that farm. We have a 50,000 square foot building in the city of Detroit that's vertically integrated. So we have cultivation, manufacturing, and retail. Our retail is opening up there at the end of this month. You know, in California, we're in the process right now buying two grows. I'm applying for licenses in Illinois, Maryland, in New York. So, you know, we're trying to grow as a national brand. We're trying to bring this medicine to people. And, you know, one of the things that we're also a part of that's bigger than me is, you know, we're trying to be a company of opportunity for Black and brown. Because at the end of the day, when you think about the war on drugs and all the people that went to jail for cannabis-related offenses, nonviolent offenses, were Black people and brown people. You know what I'm saying? And right now we represent only 2% of the industry from an ownership level. So I think that if anybody has a heart and has a real brain, they should feel like there's something wrong with that. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I'm really speaking out to, and that's something that our company is really, really making a big investment into.
So you started out as a grower, and it sounded like, hey, I'm not just going to grow this stuff. I'm going to create my own stores and sell it myself. Why, you know, why split percentages on my own product when I could just go sell it myself, right? Sounds like that's what you did.
Exactly, man. It's so early in the game, you know what I mean? It's not a mature market yet, you know what I'm saying? So there's opportunity for us to kind of do all of that. So, you know, I feel like as long as my team has the bandwidth to continue to expand and take bigger roles in every part of the supply chain, why not do it? You know, retail is the new thing that we're doing. So, you know, now we're building out our kind of McDonald's kind of model, you know what I'm saying, so that when we do help other minorities get licenses, that we can kind of give them a blueprint to success. You know what I'm saying? Because that's awesome. The key to it all. One thing is to get opportunity, but then you have to also be successful. And, you know, that's what we're helping create.
David Stern finally came around in an interview October 2017. Stern told you, I'm now at a point where personally I think marijuana should be removed from the ban list. You persuaded me. He's also, there's a picture of you and him on the website. It begs the question, have you and David Stern gotten high together?
We have not. Ah. We have not.
Okay. All right. Give me, like, Al Harrington found himself, like, the strangest person that Al Harrington found himself getting high with is blank.
Strangest person?
Just like, I can't believe I'm, like, I can't believe I am smoking my own product with this person.
That's a good question, man.
Thank you, man. You don't want to give names out, huh?
I guess I love to smoke with Obama. I don't know.
Please tell me you have smoked with Barack Obama. Please tell me that.
No, I have not.
That's so great. Check them out. It's ViolaBrands.com. Al's doing some really good work. I've had a number of people come up to me. I've actually had marijuana companies come up to me because my name on the radio is Stu Gatz, and they want to start a strain called Stu Potts. Good idea, bad idea. What do you think?
Bad idea.
Why is that a bad idea, Al? I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't like the name of it.
Okay, that's fine. All right. I have a million ideas I want to run past you, and I got a million names. Like I have NBA players, if they created a marijuana strain, what their strain would be, and I just want to have some fun and play that game with you. Like Nikola Tokic. That's pretty good, Nikola Tokic.
Nikola Tokic. Yeah, I like that.
See, all right, so I want to play this game with you, but quickly on the way out, because you've been generous with your time, Ken Spliffy Jr., how do you feel about that?
Who's that?
Ken Griffey. Ken Spliffy.
Spliffy Jr., right.
Oh, God. All right, Al, listen, the story's amazing. It's an amazing story, and... you can check Al out on Twitter. Again, it's at CheddarCheese7 on Twitter. Al, you've been gracious with your time. You've been great. This has been great. I've enjoyed it. Anything else you want to get out there about your business, about the marijuana industry, feel free to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, just, just continue to support us. You know, you can check us out on Instagram. It's at Viola.Lifestyle, Viola.Lifestyle. And then me personally, I'm at AlHarrington3. At Al Harrington 3. So you can always check out what we got cooking up, new states, new products, you know, just kind of keep up with, you know, our movements and our progression.
Listen, I'm a huge fan. It's been, and what you're doing in your post NBA career for me is even better than what you did in your NBA career. So, I'd like to have you back every now and then just to play a game with you. And I want to learn more about this industry. Is that okay?
No problem, brother. Let's do it.
Stupidity! All right, fun episode. Thanks to Al Harrington for joining us. I enjoyed a conversation about marijuana with the former Knick Pacer NBA star, Al Harrington. And thanks to George Sedano for joining us as well. Making fun of me with Sedano was always fun. Check him out, ESPN LA 710, home of the LA Lakers. Rate, subscribe, review, unsubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Do it for me. Do it for George Sedano. Do it for the Watt family, okay? Don't do it for Art Briles. If you do it for Briles, go to hell. See you next week.